the sky is gray. Cannons in the dirt roll down the street.
No, no, it's the Savage Nation, but the sky is crying. Obama's making the sky itself cry. To see a nation of free men become a nation of slaves would make even the sky cry. So play it, Stevie.
Cannons and tears roll down the street.
It is the Savage Nation. I'll get into the Bernie Madoff thing. I'll get into all of the crimes of the administration in a moment. The corrupt appointees, the gangsters that are being put into positions of power while you sleep, you morons. All right, Stevie, come on, let's get it on. Let's hear some real heavy-duty guitar here. I asked for Stevie Ray Vaughan. I didn't ask for a dirge. It is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And the sky is crying.
She was walking on down the street.
Now, of course, Bernie Madoff did a plea deal. He copped a plea to avoid a trial. The reason he did this was quite simple. The reason that Bernie Madoff copped a plea and the government permitted it is to protect the government. In other words, the object here was to make certain that those in the government who are guilty, either through default or looking the other way or outright bribery, such as people in the SEC, will walk. They themselves will not be burned by this Madoff scandal. He was told, you know, wifey Ruth will keep some of the money if you just take a plea and go away, you know, and die quietly in a prison. But the victims of Madoff are not happy at all. You have to understand that this is a charade. You're watching a show trial with Bernie Madoff, and that's the whole reason that you think it's a guilty plea, but it's not a guilty plea. It's a get-away-with-fraud plea, in my opinion. And that is because here's a man who ran one of the largest investment scams in U.S. history, and nobody knows where the money is. Many of the people ruined by Madoff's Ponzi scheme didn't find this very, very satisfying. Let's put it to you that way. U.S. District Judge Denny Big Chin ordered him immediately to jail to await sentencing. Now, the reason he's going to await sentencing and the reason it'll occur months from now is because we'll be involved in another scandal or another shock to the system from Obama, and we'll forget Bernie Madoff at that point, and he'll get a slap on the wrist. He will definitely not disclose where the money is. That's the main thing here. I mean, this is about money, isn't it? And so, therefore, the question to those who got scammed is, where's the money? Now, a trial would have, through discovery, found where the money was. I believe he has plenty to hide. I believe his family is certainly involved. How in the world could you assume, I'd like to ask you, how in the world could you assume that they didn't know what he was doing? How did they not know what they were doing? They all worked, his sons worked in the same building. I'm going to read for you in a minute Madoff's statement at the hearing. You're going to hear one of the most astonishing double talk speeches that you've ever heard in your life. It's a statement that his lawyer, his wonderful prize of a lawyer, wrote for him, in my opinion. Who knows who wrote it? The lawyer, the wife, the daughter-in-law, the grandson probably at one of the colleges in the East that he scammed, wrote it in the middle of a spring break. Well, who knows who wrote it? Victims from all over the country sent emails to the court and prosecutors. Now, today, let's start with today. This piece of human trash, Bernie Madoff, this lowest of the low scum, this rat of the gutter, you know, his sneer still bothers me. The hair on the back of his head, the very hairs on the back of this vermin's hair. His hair bothers me. You know why? Why does his hair bother me? Here is a guy who's involved. Let's put it to you another way. Let's say a black kid stole a necklace out of a jewelry store on 47th Street. Do you think that black kid would have lived in his home in Harlem until the trial? Do you think he would have gotten to sneer without handcuffs as he walked into the courtroom with his head held high like somebody who is above the law, you know? And a haircut? Still no, he's still not shorn of those beautiful locks of his. There's something about the hair that bothers me that tells it all. But anyway, Big Chin kept a tight rein on the courtroom today, limited the number of speakers and the time and manner in which the victims were allowed to address the court. And again, I want to reiterate, the reason there will be no trial is to cover up for the government. The reason there will be no trial is to cover up for the government. Now, I'm going to talk more about Madoff today, but there's another story that's even bigger that I have to talk about that you're not going to read about, and it is about Obama's appointment of a man you never heard of, who people in San Francisco heard of a great deal. His name is Van Jones. Van Jones is an anti-police radical activist from the gutters of the Bay Area. Van Jones has made his name by videotaping police as they have done their job or try to do their job. Using video cameras, lawsuits, and protests, this character, Van Jones, has fought to prevent the police from protecting the citizens of the Bay Area against the scum and dregs of society. He has had policemen fired, he has ruined lives, and he's made us all more vulnerable to street gangs. And yet, strangely enough, or shall we say predictably enough, Barack Hussein Obama has appointed this character, this anti-police character, Van Jones, who you're not going to read about tomorrow, to be Obama's special advisor on green jobs. What you don't understand is that this is a very dangerous appointment. Why are there so many czars under Obama, number one, who bypass the normal appointment process, who are not grilled by senators or congressmen, who report only to Obama? The reason is it's a power grab. Now, I want to tell you something else that you have to know. The fact of the matter is that Obama may be getting ready to organize his own personal army, not of brown shirts, but of green shirts. And that is why he has given this street thug, Van Jones, in my opinion, a street thug, a man who has specialized in harassing the police themselves, this all-important job. If Obama should appoint thousands or more than thousands of people to the environmental green czar to work for him, and then he deputizes them and then gives them guns and then gives them federal powers over that of the local police, you will know that we are repeating history in the United States of America. You see, there was another man in another country who rose to power on an army of street thugs. And he had a friend named Ernst Röhm, who headed up an organization called the SA. The SA was a political army which protected the Nazi Party leadership. It battled political opponents and terrorized the German people who opposed Hitler. Ernst Röhm was an avowed socialist. He rejected capitalism. He pushed for the nationalization of German industry and the redistribution of wealth. It seems that the Obama appointees actually have almost the same exact policies as the Nazi Party did. What you don't know is that the environment in this case is being used by the Obama administration in an attempt to gain control of the U.S. population. The brown shirts, as I said, under Hitler, were used to intimidate Germans who opposed Hitler. My fear is that Obama will be using the green shirts, these street agitators, in order to control the police and the people. Now, you're not able to talk about this because you don't know who I'm talking about, because the vermin in the media are covering up this very dangerous situation that is going on right in front of your nose. Instead, we'll talk about Madoff. If you wish, we can talk about the other thing as well, right here on the Savage Nation. Now, getting back to Madoff, I want to go back to this. He confessed, according to authorities, to carrying out a $50 billion fraud, but experts say the actual losses were probably much less because his purported profits were fictitious. It's interesting to me that a scam artist like this would even lie about the amount of money he stole. Do you understand what a sociopath actually is? If you didn't understand what a narcissist is and what a sociopath is, you're looking at it, in my humble opinion, when you see the gray-haired locks of Bernie Madoff, still smirking, still smirking, still smirking. Now, it is true that Judge Big Chin did not let him go back to his penthouse. He was immediately taken to a federal lockup in New York, most likely the Metropolitan Correctional Center, a high-rise adjacent to the courthouse, where inmates in the general pop share cells measuring 7.5 by 8 feet. But I don't think he's going to suffer too much in there, personally. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you care to comment on the Van Jones appointment in San Francisco, let's say you're a cop in San Francisco, and you know what this guy has done over the years, why don't you tune in and turn on and alert America to who B.O. has just appointed to be his environmental czar before it is too late, before we all wind up reporting to street agitator communist thugs. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I mean, I happen to love blues music. This is Stevie Ray Vaughan with Crossfire. I often play rock and roll and heavy metal. I rarely play blues, but here we are playing blues music because the country is crying, the sky is crying itself. We've elected a naked communist to power, in my humble opinion, who is aggrandizing power day by day, appointing street thugs day by day, criminals day by day, tax dodgers day by day, incompetent boobs day by day, and we're worried about, you know, Madoff and Schmadoff and this and that. All right, this is how it happens. Play it again for a minute. Maybe I'll just leave radio and become a singer. You know, last night, I got to tell you something. I stopped in a biker bar because I was walking by it. I was safer in the biker bar than I would have been in Bernie Madoff's country club, let me tell you that. Because there was a guy, a couple of guys. I mean, you ever hear kids from the Dixie region play blues? You want to hear music? You got to come to the South and listen to music. These kids, I never heard anybody play like this in 30, 40 years. I didn't know music was still alive. I mean, San Francisco is said to have a music scene. It has nothing. It's like a dead zone. I don't understand what's going on. Everybody in San Francisco pretends they're better than everybody and everything in the world. I haven't heard one band like this in my whole 30 years I lived in the Bay Area. I got to tell you, I mean, I walked by this place. I figured, all right, it's not my cup of tea. I wound up in there, you know. The media lies about everything. Everything they lie about. Guys like Madoff, they tell you, oh, he's a nice guy. Nice guy. Look, he's a nice guy. He's in a country club. Old Bernie and old Ruthie. And then every time they show a biker with tattoos, they turn him into a Nazi who's about to cut your throat. I don't know. I was safer in the biker bar listening to the Dixie guys playing the guitar and the drum and the this and the that than I would have been having a beer rather than having Chardonnay with Bernie Madoff as he tried to fleece me. That's the difference in reality. See, I try to live in the real world as opposed to the media world, as opposed to the movie world. Remember who makes the movies. The worst scum on the planet create the images that have polluted your mind. The worst vermin on the planet produce the pornography that is in your head. When I say pornography, I don't necessarily refer only to sexuality and sexual scenes. I'm talking about every image you see is a distortion. The cops are bad. The soldiers are bad. The church is bad. Gays are good. Everyone's good on earth except Americans and white people. And who produces it? White American vermin who hate America. And right now, they're running the country. They put their guy in, Barack Hussein Obama, who's appointing one lousy loser after another to one position of authority. And I am going crazy because I watch this in slow motion. It's like watching not a train wreck. I'm watching the Titanic go down. And I have to control myself every day. I am telling you, the appointment to this Green Czar position is the giveaway. Remember what Obama said about his own police force? Play it for the schmucks out
there. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
You didn't listen to me. People don't want to listen to me. You schmucks have your head in the sand. You think that because I'm a conservative, I don't know what I'm talking about. You think because I'm a conservative that I'm against everybody that's good. You people are idiots. You'd walk into a gas chamber believing you were right. You'd go into a gas chamber again, most of you. How do you think that Madoff's victims got suckered? They thought they were better than everybody. You want me to level with you? You want me to lay it on the line? Take a look at the victims of Madoff. They thought they were better than everybody. They thought they were smarter than everybody. They thought that they were superior to everybody. They thought that the world couldn't touch them. And God, in his own wisdom, got to them. Because God hates one thing more than anything on the planet. You know what God hates? Hubris. And let me tell you something. We're all capable of walking into that mind space called the hubristic world. We have to watch it. I have to watch it because I'm in the media. I have to watch it because I'm a talk show host. You got to make sure that you don't think you're better than the next guy. You got to control yourself. And when you don't, and you think that you're above the law, you're going to be kicked in the butt so hard and so fast, you'll think that a donkey's kick in the face was something easy. But let me not get distracted here. I listened to that music last night, I felt the guitar. You ever been in a place where there's blues music that's so good, and you're sitting there just sucking on a beer, and the verve of the guitar is coming right through the floor, up through the table, right under your chair into your body. Now, you wouldn't think that a guy my age from my background would go into a place like that. But not only did I go in there, I sat there for quite a long time enjoying the music as I haven't enjoyed it in over 30 years because the music was talking to me, just talking to me. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, Stevie Ray Vaughan, they were playing a lot of his music last night. Then I was calling out for Jimmy, you know, and throwing a little money at the guys. And they said, we'll play what that guy wants. And everyone was saying, that's cool. But I got to tell you something. When I saw how talented there are people out here who are so talented, who will never be heard from in the world, they'll never be heard from. This guy may work in a warehouse, the guy playing a guitar. I don't know what he does. He looked like an ordinary white guy. They look like the kind of guys who went to Iraq so they can come back and be spat upon by the vermin who were working for Obama. They look like the kind of guys whose fathers fought in Vietnam only to come back so the vermin who are now running America spit at them when they walk back in the street. They're the same guys who defend us in every generation. And there they were all over again, all by themselves in their own little world. And all of the Madoffs of the world sitting there pompously in their country clubs, above it all, wouldn't go into a place like this. They wouldn't even drive by a place like this. They'd shudder to think something would happen to them. But let me tell you something. God tried to teach Madoff's friends a lesson. And that lesson that he taught them will reverberate for 100 years to come.
Savage.
God is crying. Pennies of the tears roll down the street.
It is the Savage Nation, and the sky is crying because a naked enemy of America has taken over the country. Let's just get it on and let's get it out there. I'm sick of covering up and half-truths and this. Hey, look, let's lay it out. They're going after Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Arizona for enforcing immigration law. That fat piece of, you know, offal from New York, Gerald Nadler, is trying to try a sheriff for doing his job. Can you believe this? Obama's appointing a street thug, a man who's harassed the police for years in San Francisco, to be his green czar. What does that mean, green czar? What kind of powers is he going to have? How many people will report to him? Will they be deputized? Will they be armed? What is going on? You don't even see what's going on in front of your eyes. Herb in Los Angeles, KGIL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage. By the way, I want to thank you for being one of the few lights in the wilderness these days. But my point is about...
Well, you know, sometimes a light can burn out from too much incandescence, and let's hope that that's not the case here, because there's only so much alerting you can do until people just... It looks to me like we're living in a nation of lemmings who want to go over the cliff.
No one wants to really know what's going on. They feel more comfortable not understanding what's happening.
But look who he's appointing here.
And Bernie Madoff is simply a distraction, like a magician distracts the audience from what's really going on with his other hand. There have been trillions of dollars that have been siphoned off, and apparently nobody knows where they've gone.
So in other words, Madoff is a symptom, not the problem. And what he did was a pauper share compared to what the last Treasury Secretary and his cronies did on Wall Street.
Yes, and where is Mr. Paulson?
Where is Mr. Paulson? Henry Paulson made $3 trillion disappear. Where did the money go? Why is there no investigation of what Hank Paulson did with the U.S. Treasury in the last 4 months of Bush's administration? Why is there no outcry about that? The answer is because the incoming Obama administration is doing the same thing.
They're all controlled by, I believe, outside forces, and I think they're just following orders.
Now, who would those be? Let's really get into a conspiracy theory here.
Well, I really don't know. That's the thing. Nobody really knows. It's beyond our knowledge because there's no way to understand what's going on.
Well, we have certain suspicious characters who have... you see, there were certain characters who were very prominent when Bush was president, who were very powerful multi-billionaires who have suddenly not been heard from since Obama became president. I think you know one of them by name. His name begins with an S and ends in an O.
Sure.
It begins an S and ends in S. It's a double S.
Mr. Soros, I understand.
Okay. Why is he suddenly so quiet when he was so vocal during the Bush years?
It's a wonderful question. I don't know.
Why, he's the man who almost broke the Bank of England. Is he involved in this in any way? Why is there no congressional investigation of the powers behind the powers? Where did Obama's money come from? Where did that almost $1 trillion in campaign dollars come from that was bundled for him at the end? Who donated that money?
That's a great question. Those are all wonderful questions. And there's a million other questions that need to be answered, and they're going unanswered because there are so many distractions in the media.
That's
that are going
right.
On.
Well, that's why I'm playing, The Sky is Crying by Stevie Ray Vaughan. Look, Herb, all we can do is I have no power. All I can do is observe, comment, and hope that the people wake up before it's too late. I can't do anymore. I'm not a politician, and I'm never going to run for office. Herb, I can tell by the fact that you're listening to me in Los Angeles that you are a concerned citizen. Obviously, you're taking time out of your day to listen to a talk show.
I listen to you almost all the time, and when you're not on, I wish you were on. Let me put it that way.
Well, when I'm not on, I wish I were on too. It's the best part of my life, although it's very difficult sometimes. It's the most focused part of my being is to be on this show. I got to tell you, the rest of life is almost impossible for me to tolerate. I live for this show for one reason. The truth shall set you free, Herb. I'm sure you heard that. I'm sure you heard that phrase. There's a certain feeling that comes to a man when he expresses the truth that is like a medication. There is no medication to match it. Your arteries clear, your head clears, your headaches go away, all your aches and pains disappear. There's no healing balm like the truth itself, Herb.
But few people are able to accept the truth until they're faced with a terrible situation.
Herb, let me send you some kind of gift today. I'd love to send you psychological nudity as for your listening and your kindness and your calling from KGIL. Stay in the line. 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about what is going on with the Madoff case. I want to go in a minute to the statement that he read at his hearing. Notice it was not broadcast. And that's not just because of him. They don't permit cameras in federal courthouses, which I think is a good thing, frankly, because it just starts to affect things. I want to read one part. You know, Your Honor, for many years up until my arrest, I operated a Ponzi scheme. In other words, suddenly he's the Boy Scout, right? And then he's thankful to be able to publicly speak about my crime. As I engaged in my fraud, I knew what I was doing was wrong, indeed criminal. That's the opening part to show you he has remorse. But if you actually listen to the whole statement and read it, there is no remorse. He's still sneering. I want to read this paragraph. This is, again, Bernie Madoff, today, federal court. I want to emphasize today that while my investment advisory business, the vehicle of my wrongdoing, was part of my firm, Bernard L. Madoff Securities, the other businesses my firm engaged in, proprietary trading and market making, were legitimate, profitable, and successful in all respects. Those businesses were managed by my brother and two sons. Question to the Savage Nation. Do you believe a word of this? Do you believe one word of this? Do you believe his brother and his two sons didn't know what old Bernie was doing on the other floor? Listen, I'm going upstairs right now, and I'll be down in a few hours. What are you doing up there, Dad? Don't ask, don't tell. Where are all those profits coming from? We can't make them down here, Dad. Don't ask, don't tell. Are you kidding me? You must be kidding me. I mean, I don't understand the country I'm living in anymore, that this could have gone on so long with the SEC looking the other way. I don't understand how the former SEC chairman is not indicted for conspiracy or fraud. I don't understand how the former Treasury Secretary has not been investigated. I don't understand a lot of things anymore. I mean, I can use a word such as corruption or payoff. What does that mean, actually? It means nothing. Because if you don't have the actual data or the information, it's nothing. They're meaningless words. And so, therefore, we just sit here and we observe. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Tampa, Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm commenting on I don't have any trust for older men with long gray hair, especially in a ponytail.
Well, no, Madoff doesn't have a ponytail. I think he's going to have a tail on his pony very soon.
But it's long and gray.
But when he finally gets to jail, I think there'll be a ponytail on him. But here's the issue. It's that gray hair of his that bothers me. It should have been taken off somehow. They should have forced him to cut it by now.
Well, I think they do it because they can't let go of the past.
No, he's still a hippie. Still a wild anti-establishment hippie from the 70s?
He's still
smoking dope in a Buick in Far Rockaway with his girlfriends and still wild and free? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The worst guys that I met are old guys who are partly bald with a long ponytail with a young wife and a child that screams in a restaurant. All right, yeah, that's neither here nor there. Thanks for the call. Forget me and my restaurant stories. That's an obsession. I don't want to talk about them. I get started on restaurants, I'll never stop. Oh, God. Biggest three-day gain since November. Banks and GE climb. All right, good, wonderful. I hope it's at the end of the end or whatever. That's all. You do know that an Obama official was raided in one of his offices and two people raided, and the guy who runs it wasn't raided. He's on leave. He's on leave. Another wonderful selection. Office of Information Technology. What is that? He has access to every computer in the military. It's unbelievable to me. So Madoff with the long hair, the long-haired, silver-haired Madoff. Nobel Prize winner backs a one-world currency. Isn't that nice? Another commie wobbler gets a Nobel Prize. Terrific. Terrific, terrific, terrific. Terrific. Let's go to the callers. 1-800-449-8255. Kentucky, Howard, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I agree with you 100%. These are the same neo-brown shirts that will take our guns. The same neo-brown shirts that will take our ammo.
When I call them green shirts, they're not going to wear brown shirts. You know, 5-10 years ago, I said that when Hitler comes back, he's not coming with a swastika and singing German songs. I said he's going to come in possibly a different skin color. And you mark my words. I said this before I was a national host. I said he will be a different race, possibly. He will sing a different tune, and he'll be marching to a different drummer. What do you think? They're going to come the same way again?
Absolutely not, sir. They're going to, as you said, green shirts, but they're still brown shirts. The same people that will come in, when they can find a gun, they'll look for our personal records because they want to find out if we happen to have friends of the same political...
Well, let's put a name on this from brown shirts to green shirts, which is today's monologue on michaelsavage.com. The man's name is Van Jones, okay? He grew up in rural Tennessee. He was admitted to Yale because I guess he was such a genius, not because of any racial considerations. I guess he was such a genius that they got him in there. But he began his career in the streets of San Francisco as an agitator, and he created a group called Police Watch, in which he systematically harassed the San Francisco Police Department using video cameras, suing them. He got policemen fired. He's ruined lives. This street agitator has been appointed by Obama to be Obama's green czar. Doesn't that worry you?
Of course it does, sir. It worries me quite a bit.
And why are there no hearings, A, on Van Jones, number one, two, what is a green czar, and more importantly, why is Obama being permitted to create one czarist office after another that does report to only him, reports to no congressional committee? Doesn't report to the people. I thought it was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It seems to me a government of the street thugs, by the street thugs, and for the street thugs. Remember, Obama is a street agitator himself. Let's not forget how he came to power.
It's the same reason why the people that will be coming into our homes, you think
they're not coming into our homes. And let me tell you, it's not time for this. I have studied Nazi Germany in detail. I have asked myself over and over and over again, how is it that the Jewish people went peacefully to the gas chambers without putting up a fight? First of all, it's not true that they all went into the gas chambers without putting up a fight. Some of them, not many, a small percentage, went into the woods, they went into the underground, they went into the sewers themselves, if you can imagine, and they used Molotov cocktails, guns stolen from Germans themselves to fight. Some of them lived through the entire war. So not all of them died so peacefully. But I had a psychiatrist explain to me that the first thing Hitler did was seize the guns of all German people. You know that as well as I do, correct?
Yes, sir. I'm a Jew.
Okay. This psychiatrist also told me the psychology of controlling a mob, how a small number of people can gain control of an entire population. He said to me if all the people had remained armed and if the people had been programmed to fight when they came to take them away, it would have stopped right at the beginning. In other words, if every Jew had had a gun, and every time a Gestapo officer came and said, please come with us, pack an overnight bag, if the Jewish people had pulled out a gun and shot the Gestapo officers, knowing they themselves would die, if enough of that had happened, if 100,000 or 1 million of them had done it, the deportations would never have gone forward for one reason. It was done quietly. And remember, Germany was a very orderly country at that point. They wanted very great order in that country. And if the Gestapo had been involved in enough gunfights in apartment buildings and houses, and the surrounding neighbors had heard about it, the Holocaust could have been stopped, Howard.
Well, I know it is happening again, and it's happening... Well,
I don't know that it's happening again. I know that it could happen again. I know that unless this madman, this narcissistic street thug, is called out for his appointments and called out for his czars, it could happen here.
None of these people are being vetted. That's the whole point. You're right. There's no...
Why am I the only broadcaster in the United States of America talking today about the appointment of Van Jones to be the czar of something or other under Obama? Why is nobody asking why would he take a man who has spent his years attacking the police and preventing them from doing their jobs? And I'd like someone from San Francisco, damn it, one cop to have the guts to call this show already. I'm so sick and tired of standing up for police and not having them call the show for fear that Big Chin Fong will fire you. Put a rag over the phone and show that you got some cojones, for God's sakes. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Trying to call my baby, Lord, and I can't get a single
sound. Well, the G20 meeting is going on. That's for the New World Order, folks. And some unknown dope, a Nobel Prize winner at that. You know, they only give Nobel Prizes in this field to outright New World Order socialists. Someone named Nursultan Nazarbayev. He's the president of Kazakh, whatever that is. Sounds like a disgusting food my grandmother would have tried to force me to eat. Where is Kazakh? Kazakh President Nursultan Nazarbayev presented a paper today for a single world currency. You hear this? Great. And he wants it to be called Akmetal, combining the Greek word acme, meaning peak or best, and capital, Akmetal. So I would say burn your money, burn your dollars, burn your euros, burn your francs, and get ready for the Akmetal. That's great. That's just what we need, is somebody from Kazakh telling us what kind of currency we have. Kazakh. San Francisco, KNEW, San Francisco. Nick, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it is such an honor to talk to you.
Well, please, are you an SFPD officer currently, Nick? Nick? Anyone home? Guess they took him out of. Guess they took him out of the police car the minute he called the show. We're talking about Madoff. We're talking about the anti-police appointment by Obama. We're talking about what else are we talking about? We're talking about Stevie Ray Vaughan. Just give me for 1 minute, one more piece to get her back. Get me into the mindset. I remember there was a bar in North Beach, San Francisco, I used to go into years ago called the Saloon. Some local musicians were playing. I mean, the music was pretty good at that time. They never hit really the high notes that I really felt last night. But anyway, they're not from Dixie. That's the problem. You got to come from Dixie in order to do this music right, somewhere down there, I think. Well, a lot of them migrated out there, but they get weak out in San Francisco. San Francisco eventually weakens everybody. All you got to do is read The Call of the Wild by Jack London. One of the great books when you're a kid or an adolescent growing up to read the Jack London's books, but one of them, The Call of the Wild, he talks about, I love the way he talked about dogs. And one of the, you know, it's about a dog that grows up in the Bay Area that's got part Arctic wolf in him. And he's, you know, he's in his temperate climate and everything is soft and easy and good and everything is easy for him. But something in him is stirring for a different time and a different clime. And, of course, that's the wolf. That's what he means by the call of the wild. And the dog breaks free and somehow finds his way back up to the Arctic. I mean, it's a tremendous metaphor. That novel is so underrated for what it really is. It's frankly, better to me than the The Whale by Melville, which I found. I mean, you know, everyone says a great novel, and I'm sure it is. But I swear to God, to me, that book by Melville was a little obtuse and very difficult to read. The Call of the Wild by London was the same theme, in essence. In another way, you know, there's other books in the same theme. What they're talking about is man's inner wildness. In wildness is the protection of the earth. was a phrase from the 1960s by a group called Friends of the Earth. And, you know, I have to agree with them to a great extent. And wildness is the protection of the earth. And we are all the eagle. I understand all of those things up to a certain point. But within all of us, there's a wild man that is itching to come out. And occasionally we can let it out, you know, through sports or perhaps through intimate relations or whatever it may be, in the way that a man lets the real inner self show itself. But we're talking about something beyond that. And that is the primal. The primal in the form of, let us say, the extreme fighting. Okay, you know, why do you think that's becoming popular? Why is that now becoming more popular than boxing? Because the more bottled up we are by the government and by societal's rules, the more bottled we are by liberal rules from cradle to grave, shutting our mouths, zipping our lips, zipping our thoughts, the more violence is stirring inside the heart of every man. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You think that you're going to change because the government wants you to become a patsy? Inside you, there's a very big creature. And that's why there's so much violence in this country. You can subdue it with the Prozac and it bursts out.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
America is crying because of what's going on in this country from top to bottom. We are playing Stevie Ray Vaughan, The Sky is Crying. If you just joined us, welcome. If you've been with me for the last hour, you know why I'm playing Stevie Ray Vaughan. Come on, play it, man. Make the people care. Two main topics are the government conspiracy to hide Madoff's crimes, in the sense that they denied the people the justice that the people wish, which is a trial, during which, through the discovery process, the people would demand to see where the money went and who in the government may have helped Madoff get away with this for so many years. Remember, the whistle was blown on him in 99 by Markopoulos, and the SEC repeatedly rejected the whistleblower. Chris Cox, the SEC chairman, looked the other way, according to all estimates of any intelligent impassioned observer. I have nothing in this. I didn't lose anything with Madoff. I don't invest at all. I have no investments in the world. None. I don't trust anybody with my money. How do you like that? Does that work for you? I want you to understand, I have no money involved in the market or this or that. So I have nothing in this. I just know that the man took a plea deal in order to get away with the crime, meaning the money is going to stay in the hands of his cohorts and his cronies, you know, the family. Hey, look, I said it to you months ago when this came out, that if it was me and I was running the investigation, I would have grilled his grandchildren. Right? I would have started with squeezing them at Bryn Mawr or Brown, wherever they are. I would have brought them in nicely, give them a Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, whatever. Give them a tea, a hot tea, an iced tea, a cold tea, an energy drink. And I would have said, okay, kid, your grandfather's been, said that he would conduct a $50 billion scheme. You received any money from your grandfather over the last 10 years? How about for your bar mitzvah, Johnny? You get a gift. What was your gift? Okay. Was it a gold watch? Was it a... honey, you're at college right now studying anti-American 101 up at Brown. What is it? Did you ever receive any endowment from your grandfather? Any income, whatever? Where is the money? And blah, blah. I'd start from the bottom and work my way. What's this with talking to him? A slick con man like him, he can run the rings around the government. He got there because he's stupid. He got there because he's not glib. He got there because he doesn't know how to BS cops, okay? So you're going to put a cop in a room with Madoff. What's he going to come away with? It's like presto. He came away with nothing. Bring the grandchildren in first. Then work your way back up, Ruthie, then blah, blah, blah. So the whole reason there's no trial is clear, because in a trial, a people's lawyer would have demanded discovery. And in the discovery, they would have found out that there were money, smeared money, gone to this one, that one, the SEC, God knows who else. So it goes all the way up to the high reaches of government, and that's why they gave the guy a plea. That's all. That's number one. The other topic is the appointment of a man named Van Jones, a street agitator from San Francisco, a man who ran a group called Cop Watch, who has harassed police for many years in San Francisco, videotaping them as they've done their jobs. Obama made him the czar of the environment. You hear this? And no one's talking about it. So if you want to chime in on any of this before the hour is up and you can't do it, this is the only place on earth you're going to get a chance to talk about it. The rest of the show is a part and parcel of the, as far as I'm concerned, the grand conspiracy. Let's put it to you that way. San Francisco, Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a 14-year veteran of the San Francisco PD homicide detective. I couldn't agree with more with what you're saying.
Do you know this guy Van Jones? Have you run into him?
I've seen him in and out of the office in little private meetings, and he's always got his guards around, you know, secretive.
Whoa. What do you mean by guards?
Oh, he's always got his cronies with him. You know, he can't talk to him. He walks through the hallway, guarded in and out, secret passages. And
going to where? To the police chief, Heather Fung?
Oh, different conference rooms. Then he's hauled away down to his private car in the private garage. And
but I thought he's a street man. I thought he's a socialist. He likes the driver and the cars and the bodyguards, huh?
Yeah.
Now, this man has run a group called Police Watch, and what have they done over the years in San Francisco?
Corrupted the police force, as far as I'm concerned.
How? By intimidating them? You mean from keeping them from doing their job for fear they'd be called before Police Chief Fung?
For fear not being able to do their jobs, for fear of scrutiny, for fear of being fired. Basically,
right, so you're an ex-homicide. You're a current homicide or ex-homicide?
Current.
Are you? I don't want you to give your name because I had one homicide detective call the show and I talked about the elevator homicide. Is that investigation ongoing?
As far as I know, without giving too much detail, it's in the works.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll save that for another time. That's the story of the Jewish activist who was found dead at the bottom of an elevator shaft on the way to an Arabic lesson in a building that just happened to have a dead elevator, and the class just happened to have been canceled, and he was the only one who didn't know it. Now, this has homicide written all over it, but the local failed newspaper hasn't reported on this much, have they?
Not at all, and it's tragic.
No, tragedy. Any other city, it would be a banner headline, day and night. Elevator homicide, the latest in the elevator homicide. Then people would buy the newspaper. That's how newspapers survive, is by digging into the corruption and the cover-ups. That's why they're going out of business. They're worthless.
Newspapers can't survive, and the only thing that's going to survive, Dr. Savage, is people like you who bring what the people can't find out other places. You're doing God's work. You're bringing the truth and lighting the people as to what's really going on.
Well, I could use five homicide detectives surrounding me, to be honest with you, the world I live in and the kind of government we're getting. I could use an army around me, but I don't have them. Right now, all I have is God around me.
You're doing God's work, Dr. Savage, and you deserve a special task force.
Yeah, believe me, I could use a special task force. I won't even say the word, what I've got out of San Francisco. It's the meanest city in America, Sean. And, you know, every time I meet the cops when I'm out in the streets, I have a wonderful interaction. I see great human beings. I see wonderful human beings who are willing to take a bullet every day. And they're not looking forward to take a bullet. Let's be clear here. No one gets up and says, I want to die today, unless they're crazy. But in putting on that uniform and that bulletproof vest every day, they are aware that they could take a bullet and die in their job, in their role as a police officer, and it goes for every cop in America, to protect the sheep called the average person. Isn't that right, Sean?
That's right. That's just like the Secret Service. You know, how many, protecting George W. versus protecting Obama, you know, they're doing a job, but how many are protecting who they want to protect?
That I don't know. I don't know who does it anymore, and I don't even want to comment on that, Sean. Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8255. Phone number, michaelsavage.com. Here we have a police officer from Palm Beach calling. Mark, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to know, I couldn't agree more with the last caller, but we have these types here in Palm Beach County, but what the videos don't catch is they spit in your face like when they talk. They're real agitators. And that punk who has the video camera, he ain't doing it. He's paying some guy, some thug on the street $50 to agitate a cop while he calls the cops on him, so the cops can't do nothing to the guy.
What do you mean, the Van Jones guy that Obama appointed?
Yeah, he calls the thugs, gives them $50. Hey, I'm going to give you a little misdemeanor charge, and I'll pay you $100 or something. And when he's talking, he kind of just spits in their face a little bit, and the cop...
You know, Mark, I got to divulge something here. I never met this Van Jones. I don't know who he is, but I did have a run-in with Mrs. Savage many years ago in the streets of San Francisco with the people filming cops. It was a very angry, loud confrontation, which people reported on. They're trying to make me into the bad guy. The cops were trying to gently arrest a homeless vermin who was defecating in a hallway, in a doorway of a store in North Beach, Chinatown. I came upon the scene. We had just had a meal. And here were the cops having to deal with this human offal in the gutter in the most delicate of manner. And there were these white street vermin with cameras screaming at them, taking their pictures. So we stepped in and screamed at them, get away from here. We started yelling at them. Then they started recording us like we were the bad guys. Do you know that we almost got arrested, Mark?
That's not right. You should... Sticking up for what's right is wrong in this country now. It's disgusting.
So where are you an officer? In Palm Beach or in one of the towns here or what?
West Palm Beach.
Yeah, that's not a... Is it a high crime area today or not?
Oh, yeah. It kills Compton.
Are you kidding? It's gotten that ghettoized?
Oh, are you joking? It kills Compton. It's disgusting.
West Palm has become violent?
The city of West Palm, right next to Madoff. When you cross that bridge, you're in a bad part of town.
Oh, my goodness. Well, going down the coast, Mark, in this strip of land in Florida you're discussing, let's go down the coast. Gulfstream, crime there or not?
Gulfstream, no. It's actually a pretty nice area. And not for long, you know. They're coming everywhere.
How about Delray Beach, next town?
Are you joking? They shoot each other there all the time.
Where? What, do you mean on the other side of the tracks?
Yeah, Delray Beach.
Yeah.
Because you got the Haitian mafia doesn't like the Jamaican mafia. Jamaican mafia doesn't like the Mexican mafia. And they all hate the cops.
And you guys have to be there and you have to keep all of this under control.
Yeah. Or
and keeping you destabilized are the white vermin with the video cameras.
They outgun us, too, not to mention that. They got AK-47s. We got a Glock 40.
Are you kidding me? This is what's going on around this area. It's unbelievable to me. Mark, let me send you a gift. I mean, all I can do is send you a copy of Psychological Nudity where you'll get a kick out of some of the stories. You know, my life, and might be some relief for you guys. Jeez, what a terrible story. Stay in the line. All right, I got to take a quick break, then we'll be... Wait a minute. I don't want to go to a quick break. Give me a little Jimi Hendrix if you got it lined up for the minute. I want to hear Jimmy just for 30 seconds.
The red house over yonder. That's where my baby stays.
Yeah. We'll be back on the Savage Nation to sing the blues about the sky is crying right here.
That's where my baby stays.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about this and that, mainly that and this. Plea bargain of Bernie Madoff. What another travesty of justice, in my opinion. Listen to what former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz says about the plea in clip 6.
Well, I thought it was stunning in its lack of remorse. It seemed to me to be rather insincere and really a strategic move. It was all about me. There was very little, almost no mention of any other's involvement. Certainly a big question as to who else may have been involved here. And he did strategically carve out what he claims to be a legitimate portion of this business. Basically, that was drawing the line in the sand. We see where this battle's going to be. He's going to say, I had a legitimate and an illegitimate part of this business. The government believes it was all illegitimate, and they're going to try to seize all the assets.
Now, here's an investor reacting to the Bernie Madoff plea in clip eight.
I understand that he has accepted the plea of guilty.
The judge has accepted the plea.
My feeling is this. If this is what will, if there will not be a trial as a result of this, then a lot of this information that people want to hear about, whether there were other members of his family involved, employees, where the money is offshore, much of that may not come to light. And I think it's important that that be established. I don't know if not having a trial is a good thing or not.
Now, wait, in the next clip, nine, listen to what he says about the SEC. Pay attention.
I think that the government does not want to have a trial because the SEC negligence will probably come out, and they don't want it to. If the SEC does not take responsibility for allowing this fraud to continue for so long and so unabated, then what hope do we have in the future that there will be any protection for the American investor?
Yeah, hello. That's the essence of it. The people have lost confidence in the stock market. Listen to clip 10.
Bernie Madoff is somebody I just want to get by and put into my past. Expressing an anger to him doesn't do me any good. I can only go forward. And going forward, my objections are to the SEC, to CIPIC for making it so difficult for people to recover money, and for their clawbacks against investors, and for the IRS not issuing any guidelines as far as amended returns or carry back theft losses. People are just waiting.
All right, we got the picture. Everyone's not so stupid. They were stupid with Madoff, but now after the fact, they're not so stupid. Suddenly they have cunning again. I'll go figure that one out. Green Bay, Wisconsin, Linda, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. America is listening. We will be ready when the green shirts come because the gun stores –
Well, I don't want to talk about guns, Linda, and I don't want to talk about that horrible possibility. I hear you, Linda, but this is not the time and place for this kind of talk. We'll have to save that. Here is Gerald Nadler, the slob from New York, a congressman that you may remember, a pig who attacked everything decent in America for all of his life, who is now attacking Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Now, this is a man who arrested 17,000 illegal aliens and did the job of the American people. Here is this slob Congressman Gerald Nadler, a far-left street radical, in clip 16.
We will not sit idly by as Hispanic residents of Maricopa County are routinely singled out, profiled, raided, searched, jailed, and deprived of basic human rights. In 2009, in the United States, we simply cannot tolerate such patterns of discrimination and denial of due process.
Oh, go to hell. You know where you belong? You know where you belong, you pile of garbage, you? This man is doing the job you fat slob should be doing. You pig, you. You pig, you should be in jail.
With the Department of Justice now involved, we have taken an important step by getting them involved toward justice for Latino people in Arizona. I look forward to working with the
Justice Department. Okay, so it's upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. When a fat slob pig like this takes the side of the illegal alien against the sheriff who's doing the job that fat slob should be doing, you know you've lost your country. Pay attention to what I just said to you. Here's a sitting congressman, a beast of a human being, who has been smeared or paid off, in my opinion, by La Raza or one of the other Latino groups to go after an honest sheriff.
Savage.
Thirty-eight states said yes to Bush. 12 states said yes to Gore. Are some states more equal than other states? South Florida, for example. The land of the New York Communistic Front. The millionaires grifting off the welfare state. Pretending to each other the moral indignation of the downtrodden. Acting with heads held high and jaws thrust out as victims of the triangle shirtwaist fire. Lexus liberals with Volkswagens on their brains, condo commies, lunchroom Lenins, stand-up Stalins, miserable Maos, pathetic Pol Pot Marxists using black street gangs as their body armor, stealing ballots, grifting SSI, faking disabilities, voting for Al Gore, all in a day's work, South Florida, the land of sunshine, schmoozing, and now stupidity. The whole world now knows New York Communist Democrats are too stupid to vote straight, but smart enough to twist the truth when their benefits are threatened. South Florida, the land of suntan Trotskys and delis, bypassed Bolsheviks and Buicks, air-conditioned chais and condos, loud, lewd losers in limbo, stuck between their investments and their liberalism, lost to their religion, fervent in their non-belief, save the DNC, their new religion, corned beef commies, buffet bolshies, jogging jokesters stuck in Camelot fantasies, Kennedy their last idol, a drunk, profligate warmonger covered for by his beautiful wife, Hillary, their personal Evita Perón, Bill, their shameless Shagets, Tipper, their tipsy donut, Al, their Shabbos Goy, South Florida, the land of sun and SOBs.
Savage.
I had to play that again, Sam, because I wrote that in the year 2000 in, of all places, West Palm Beach, Florida. I happened to be down here during the election. I looked around, and you tell me that I'm not prophetic? I didn't call it like it is. I was in Madoff's backyard. Those were the people that got bilked by him. Those were him and the people got bilked by him. I mean, corned beef commies. Are you kidding me? I didn't see it all. You know, the best line in there was so many great lines. It's a masterpiece, actually. It's a masterpiece. That's a wonderful piece. That should be all over America today. Did I see it? Did I ever see this right for what it was? I mean, I never heard of Madoff. But I just sensed it. I just knew what these people were all about when I was down here. I just sensed it in my bones. I can read it. There was a certain element of fraud in the entire picture, in the sense of the self-righteousness and the superiority. And they got conned. In other words, trapped between, remember what I said, trapped between their religion and their investments? Did you like that one? Who else could think like this and write like this and speak like this? Answer, nobody. Which is how I survive, and that's why you listen to the show. One, by the way, that appeared in one of my books, and I forget which one. I have no idea which one of the great books I've written, but it'll live on and printed in the spoken word long, long, long from now. Yes, indeedy. Unless the government purges digital files, I don't know what'll happen. Yes, maybe they'll make certain things illegal to listen to in the unbrave new world when the Acorn workers get into the Library of Congress and say that that's offensive to, I don't know, somebody. We have to purge it from the documents. It's not that we're censoring anything. It's for the betterment of the people. We have to do that. I mean, it's true that when the Muslims broke into the Alexandria Library in Egypt in the 9th century, they burnt the library to the ground because they were against any written word except the words of the Quran. You don't know any of that because you don't know anything about history. The last you heard about history was so boring. But study your history. You'll find out what goes on when there's an invasion in a country. Sometimes the invasions from within are much worse than a foreign army invading a country. Egypt was not Muslim at that point. But when the Muslims finally broke into Egypt and knocked out the army, one of their first acts in the old days was burning the Alexandria Library to the ground. Read your history. Read your history. You'll find out what world you're living in, you goofballs. You goofball morons who voted for Obama and said, oh, the poor terrorists at Guantanamo. They're not terrorists. The U.S. military are the terrorists. They're just innocent Muslims defending their homeland. They're freedom fighters, and so they deserve not a military trial, but a regular trial where Marvin from NYU can defend them. Marvin could fly down from Columbia, NYU. The same kind of rats who harass the cops are harassing the military. All of the Marvins of the world. But don't get me started right now, because I, as far as I want to go, I just don't want to go any further right now. There's only so much I can say, only so much I can do every day. New York City, we haven't heard from anybody from New York today. Let's go to WOR. Richard, thanks for calling. Wait, I actually have to put my glasses on in this dark studio and see the board. Go ahead. Richard, you're on the air.
Michael, you got me rolling. How can I follow up behind that? I am absolutely on fire. I cannot find any information on these 300,000 thugs that this president's going to appoint. I can't find any information.
We don't know the number. He's appointed Van Jones a cop hater who ran Cop Watch to run his, to be a czar of the environment. We don't know what that means. What does a green czar mean? What does it actually mean? And who is going to work for him? And are they going to be deputized and armed?
One and the same with these 300,000 jackboots that are going to come knocking on my door.
Well, wait a minute. Where do you get the number 300,000?
Read it several times. In fact, he made an announcement with regards to that during his speech, that he was looking to put together his quote-unquote private army.
I would say that if he tries to do that, it's the end of it. There'll be a civil war in the country.
It won't, Michael, and I disagree.
Richard, if he puts together a private army of street vermin and arms them, there'll be a war in this country. There'll be a civil war, and I won't start it. The police will go off like fireworks in this country.
I fully disagree. I'm going to tell you why. People do not have what it takes to fight back any longer. Look at us today. You can't walk down the streets of New York City without being intimidated by dozens and dozens of illegal aliens everywhere.
What do you mean intimidated? What are they doing?
Streets of New York City.
Wait, but what do you mean intimidated by the illegals? What are they doing?
They're thugs. They're all over the streets. They're everywhere. They stop cars in the middle of the street looking for jobs, soliciting. And that's all I'm talking about is illegal aliens. I'm not talking about your average street thugs. This is bad news. We don't own the streets anymore. It's over, Michael. And
well,
you think,
Kyle, you remember there was a movie called We Own the Night that came out a while ago about the NYPD owning the night. You're telling me you don't own the night anymore.
Michael, they took those T-shirts away from us. We did own the nights. We don't own them anymore.
I know that, and I keep saying that this has all happened under this liberal swine, Bloomberg. Make no mistake about it, he's no better than the rest of them.
It's over, Michael. People will not pick up arms to defend themselves. I'm sorry, I disagree. People won't even pick up their fists to defend all women in the street when there's no police around, and that's a fact. You know that, and so do I. You grew up in New York, you know how the deal is. Nobody will pick up...
Let's go all the way back 35 years ago to the time that woman was being raped in Kew Gardens. Remember she was screaming for help outside of her building?
Was it Gennaro, I think her name was?
I don't remember her name exactly, but it was a big shock in New York City at the time. She was screaming for help. Help, 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 I'm being raped. People were looking out of their windows and no one did anything.
Nobody's going to do anything. They're not. They're not going to pick us. And we're not talking about street thugs. These are going to be heavily armed soldiers, well-trained, probably offshore.
Right now you have the issue of the Mexican drug war spilling over the border. The police are outgunned. They're begging for a military intervention, and Obama said he's not going to do it.
No, it's not going to happen, Michael. We don't have the support. The government is not protecting the citizenry. I would urge...
No, they're not, Richard. Take a look at Madoff. Did they protect the investor? Let's forget guns and let's forget murder. Let's talk about investments. Did they protect these people from Madoff? You had people screaming like Markopoulos in 1999. The government told them to take it and shove it.
No, they're not here to protect us, Michael. They're here to take money from us.
Right, I agree. I think the government is a government of the crook, by the crook, and for the crook.
Brother, bottom line.
All right, well, to each his own. That's all. It's one man's opinion. One man's opinion. 1-800-449-8255. New York City again. Gil, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. As to Madoff, you cannot hide $50 billion. That's astronomical figure, and it cannot be done. Number two, the reason why the feds are not going after him is because they will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are people within government who are connected with Madoff. There are people within all walks of life, multi-billionaires, who are in on this deal as well.
I agree 1,000%, because the question is why he suddenly took a plea and there was no trial. Now, the judge, by the way, Denny Chin, could have said, I reject your plea, and we're going to trial. He could have done that. You know that, of course. You understand that, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, in other words, U.S. District Judge Denny Chin had the option of rejecting Madoff's plea and ordering a full trial during which discovery would have occurred and during which lawyers for the investors would have demanded an awful lot of information that would have embarrassed the United States government going all the way up the chain, perhaps past the SEC. And we don't know how much further it would have gone, but there's no question in my mind, knowing that Madoff gave money to Schumer, he gave money to Dodd, he gave money to all of the top Democrats, Now, that's the money we know of. It was chicken feed, legitimate campaign contributions. But, Gil, we don't know what other monies may or may not have been transferred and to whom.
Tell you where the money is, sir. Go to the Swiss banks, go to Liechtenstein, go to Luxembourg, go to Bimini, go to Aruba, go to Bermuda, go to the various offshore banks. You will find them there. Go with Ritz, go to the World Bank, go to...
Well, let me ask you, are you an investor, Gil?
I'm an investor, sir, and I didn't lose a cent because I invested in municipal free bonds.
And your friends probably... who invested with them were mocking you, saying you're hiding under the mattress, I'll bet. Gil, did you have any friends who were taken by this Ganef?
That's how the Kennedy fortune, that's what they did. Joe Kennedy left it as a bond trust fund for Ted Kennedy and the rest of the boys.
No, but Gil, did you have friends who invested with Madoff?
No, I did not.
So you don't run in those circles at all?
Not. But I want to tell you right now, you send 25 FBI agents who have legal and accounting training, because these are the prerequisites to becoming an FBI agent, and you to tell me that within 6 months, using the RICO, invoking RICO and what have you, you cannot find out the spin-off where the money is. That is an absolute unmitigated lie.
Do you believe his wife and sons and brother were involved?
Absolutely. You don't get $60 million, Nishmir Nishmir, out of the blue. That $60 million was given by the husband, and I believe that the wife is in on this as well, whether she actually took part in it or she's a receiver of stolen goods.
Innocent Ruthie from Far Rockaway? You're accusing innocent smiling Ruthie like this, Gil?
Well, let me tell you something. Smiles don't fool me. Sociopathic people have the most pleasant of smiles.
You know, I found that all my life, Gil, is that the more mild and pleasant the person, the less I trust them. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be abrupt and loud to be a trustworthy person, but I found honest, gruff people to be easier to deal with.
Just remember what Balzac, the French writer, said. Behind every great fortune is...
Oh, there's a great crime, yeah. Well, that's not true. Come on, Gil. I know some very rich men who never took a penny from anybody, Gil. I have to disagree with Balzac. I mean, I used to quote that all the time till I met some people who never took a penny from anybody. They earned it, Gil.
Right. All right, that could be.
There are people who are lucky or smart or both, and they work their butts off. I know a rich man, and I'm not going to mention anything about him, who said to me something many years ago. He's a man almost 80 years old, and he's a very abrupt person, right in your face all the time, but the nicest, trustworthiest guy you'll ever meet. Never cons you with double talk. You know what he once said to me? He said, if I could build a highway around the world of the number, if I could had to make a highway of all the butts I've kissed in my life to get where I am, it would go around the world three times. What he was saying to me is all of his whole life he had to humble himself to get where he is too. And I saw something in my life, Gil, to this day that's a truism. I have found that most people who have gotten nowhere in life are usually thwarted by their own pride or their own ego. They're unwilling to humble themselves. They're unwilling to learn. They're unwilling to acknowledge the other person's success. And I have found all of those attributes to their own detriment, Gil. Anyway, that's one man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get
it. It is
no
the Savage Nation. You know, we've talked about a lot of things thus far on this show, but the biggest outrage is that fat slob from New York, Congressman Nadler, acting like going after Sheriff Joe simply because he enforced the immigration law of the nation. He detained 16,000-plus illegals. He did the job that the federal government has failed to do under Bush. And now he's going to face the wrath of the federal government. You are living in an upside-down universe. Tucson, Arizona, we have a caller out of there. Pat, welcome. You know exactly why this is happening. Go ahead, please.
Well, the ex-governor of Arizona, who's now our Homeland Security Director, she never liked Joe Arpaio.
So Janet Napolitano, who was soft on illegal immigrants, who was obviously in the pocket of, let us say, out-of-nation interests, let's be very mild about it, who is somewhat more sympathetic to the non-citizen than the citizen is going after Joe?
Yeah. She didn't like the way he did things, and she went after him numerous times.
How could they say that he's violating the rights of illegal aliens when they're here illegally?
No. He just goes after him, and that makes her mad.
So, in other words, Obama took a woman, Janet Napolitano, who is obviously in, let us say, cahoots with La Raza and other interests of that nature, and now she is soft on illegal immigration. In other words, she wants open borders. She's now running our Homeland Security Department?
Well, she's the Homeland Security Director, and yeah.
Well, there should be an investigation immediately of this appointment of Janet Napolitano.
I think so. I don't.
Yes, I think the people better come out for Sheriff Joe. I think 25,000 people in Arizona, peace-loving people, should come out in his defense. Thank you for the call. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8255. Let us go to Virginia, because Virginia's across the country. Welcome, Virginia. Go ahead, please, Stephen.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for listening to me. I've been a cop here for some time. They have been studying the gang problem in Norfolk, Virginia for 20 years. 20 years they have been studying. They had police officers come down from New York. I spoke with them. They said, we're down here to study the gang problem. The only conclusion they have come to after 20 years is how many of them that there are.
Now, you have a gang problem there because it's a transit point on the drug highway, isn't it?
Yes, it comes up out of North Carolina. It comes here. It's coming down out of Baltimore, Maryland. It's going.
Frightening. It's frightening to believe that George Bush did this to us, but he did. I mean, let's not blame Obama for a problem that's 20 years old. I mean, let's give credit where credit is due, and let's not demonize him on every issue. George Bush is the man who broke the borders. George Bush is the man who let this cancer metastasize.
He wants trucks to roll across unstopped. I
don't know how you guys in uniform can take it. I mean, I know you're doing it because it's a job. I understand that. It has good benefits, and I'm not being facetious. But I also know there are other jobs you could have taken when you first took this job. Yeah. Not everybody's in it simply for the pension. A lot of guys do it because they're tough guys who are on the right side of the law, and they like to protect people who can't protect themselves. In plain English, they're as tough as the bad guy, if not tougher, and they want to do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. I don't know how you get up in the morning and face this anymore when your own government turns against the police.
Yeah, they had here recently in Ocean View, okay, a lynching. All right, and these people talk about it's racist. I don't know. It just boggles the mind. There's people afraid to go out of their houses. They cannot walk out of their houses at night, okay, because these gangs control the streets at night.
In which city, Stephen?
Norfolk, Virginia.
Ocean. In Norfolk, Virginia, the gangs control the streets?
So what? Okay, they've had shootings. They find them dead all the time. They shot somebody sitting in an argument over.
Unbelievable what's gone on in this country. All because the lowest of the low were let into this country. Thanks for the call. And now, just as in Alice in Wonderland, it is upside down. A cop who did the job of the people arresting the illegal aliens is now being attacked by the slob, Gerald Nadler, who has obviously been told to do it by higher-ups in the Obama administration. Well, that's it for this hour. Stay tuned. We have another big hour coming up on the Savage Nation. If you think things are bad, you're right. And if you think they're not going to get worse, you're crazy.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. A certain Van Jones has been appointed by Barack Hussein Obama to be his special advisor on green jobs. In other words, the czar of the environment. What most people don't know, however, is that Van Jones has a background as a street radical. After growing up in rural Tennessee and getting a law degree from the white liberals at Yale, Van Jones began his career of agitation at San Francisco. He started a group called Police Watch, a group which has systematically harassed the police of the San Francisco Bay Area. Using video cameras, protests, and lawsuits, Van Jones fought to prevent the police from protecting us against the vermin of society, the refuse, the vermin of society that would kill you and cut your throat. He had policemen fired, he's ruined lives, and he's made us all more vulnerable to street gangs. But in the last few years, it seems, Van Jones has moved on to a different con game, in my opinion, the environment. He started something called the Green Collar Jobs Campaign, which tries, as he claims, to create green pathways out of poverty. In other words, conning people about global warming has become more profitable than harassing the police. And now, strangely, Barack Obama, the brilliant genius professor, has brought him on as part of the A-team. His background dovetails perfectly with Obama's plans. Why do I say that? Well, you've heard Obama before talking about starting a civilian national security force separate from the military, but large, as large as the military. Listen to Obama's words as he discussed this on the campaign trail last year.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Chilling, isn't it? But I've told you before that Obama is getting ready to organize an army of green shirts. And given Van Jones's background in street agitation, he seems like the perfect person to do it. But you have to know your history. There was another man once who rose to power on an army of street thugs. Adolf Hitler had a friend named Ernst Röhm, who was the head of an organization called the SA. The SA was a political army which protected the Nazi party leadership, battled political opponents, and terrorized the Jews. Ernst Röhm was an avowed socialist. He rejected capitalism, pushed for the nationalization of German industry, and the redistribution of wealth. Van Jones, it seems, is working along the same lines. The environment is being used by Obama to control the U.S. populace. The brown shirts have become the green shirts, led by Van Jones and his street agitators. They seem to be on the verge of deputizing and arming an army of gangs who will threaten, intimidate, and arrest anyone who refuses to go along with the new green agenda. You should be very worried indeed. The Obama administration has announced a new aid package to the Palestinians in Gaza without demanding the terrorist organization Hamas stop raining rockets down on Israel. In the middle of this worldwide financial crisis, our administration is giving almost $1 billion for the hope that the terrorists won't get this money. Joining us now to talk about this is James Phillips from the Heritage Foundation.
Thanks, Michael. I have just written a paper on the Gaza aid package. It's kind of a Gaza bonanza. I don't know if your listeners realize this, but last week, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton went to a international conference in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, and announced that the U.S. would be giving away $900 million to help ease the humanitarian plight of the Palestinians in Gaza, as well as to shore up the bankrupt Palestinian Authority. The administration is doing this under the assumption that this will help to clear away for the revival of the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. But I think this is wishful thinking, because as long as Hamas remains free to rain rockets down on Israel, and it's shot more than 100 rockets since the fighting ended in mid-January, I think it's too early to talk about reconstructing Gaza. I think another problem is that since the 1993 Oslo Peace Accords, the U.S. has showered $2.2 billion in direct bilateral aid to the Palestinians. And then since 1950, the U.S. has sent about $3.4 billion of humanitarian aid to the Palestinians through dysfunctional U.N. organizations. And this aid has subsidized the welfare of Palestinian refugees, contributed to a culture of victimization and shrill anti-Israeli, anti-Western radicalism, and freed up some of these Palestinian groups, especially Hamas, which came to power in 2006, has freed it up to work to destroy Israel rather than provide for the welfare of the Palestinian people. And I think that given the searing economic crisis in the United States, the Obama administration should significantly reduce these overly ambitious aid goals, should halt the funding of UN agencies anyway, because many of these agencies, especially the UNRWA, the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, do not effectively deliver aid and, in fact, are a radicalizing influence. And thirdly, I think the Obama administration should tighten restrictions on the disbursement of aid to make sure that the U.S. taxpayers do not subsidize Palestinian terrorist groups.
Give us some details on this aid package.
If we look closely at the aid package, it's $900 million, of which $300 million is going to humanitarian aid to the Palestinians in Gaza. And that's because they were forced to fight a war because Hamas and its allies continued to shoot rockets into Israel at Israeli civilians while they hid among Palestinian civilians. There'll be $400 million to support the Palestinian Authority's reform and development plan, and another $200 million in budget support for the Palestinian Authority. The Obama administration maintains that this massive aid package will not end up in the pockets of Hamas or other terrorist groups, but it plans to funnel this assistance through the Palestinian Authority, through NGOs, that's non-government organizations, and through the UN agencies. And unfortunately, although the Palestinian Authority, which is dominated by Fatah, probably will not leak money to Hamas, the UN agencies often have their own agenda as well as an anti-American and anti-Israeli tilt, and they can't be trusted. The largest UN body involved in facilitating aid to the Palestinians is the UN Relief and Works Agency, or UNRWA, which is a notoriously opaque and dysfunctional institution that has been infiltrated by Hamas supporters and other Palestinian radicals. Even though it receives over a third of $1 billion in international funding every year, and despite constant reports of inefficiency and corruption, UNRWA is not externally or publicly audited, and this lack of accountability is very troubling. There are numerous reports of UNRWA that it has been infiltrated by Hamas personnel. According to the Government Accounting Office, at least 16 UNRWA staff have been detained by Israeli authorities for security-related crimes, and three have been convicted in military courts of terrorism-related activities.
Unbelievable.
The Hamas Minister of Interior formerly worked as a teacher at an UNRWA school in Gaza, while the headmaster of another school was the leader of a cell that built rockets for Islamic Jihad, which is an even more radical terrorist group. Despite the fact that the United States is the biggest single donor of UNRWA, and that agency continues to resist reform and refuses external audits of its operations. And I think this is intolerable. Given the penetration of this UN agency and other NGOs by terrorist groups, I think the United States must be absolutely sure that its aid does not end up being diverted. Congress needs to scrutinize the Obama administration's plans and make sure that there's absolutely no chance that funds provided by American taxpayers end up being pocketed by members of terrorist groups. Both houses of Congress should hold hearings and exercise their oversight powers to make sure that future aid to the Palestinians is dispensed on a more modest scale through closely vetted NGOs and not through corrupt UN bodies such as UNRWA that operate across purposes with U.S. foreign policy goals.
Thanks, James. Hopefully Obama will take the time to stop and think about where this aid money actually goes and the harm it could bring us in the wrong hands. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Thank you.
tears roll down the street.
No, no, it's the Savage Nation, but the sky is crying. Obama's making the sky itself cry. The sky is crying.
She was walking on down the street.
Now, of course, Bernie Madoff did a plea deal. He copped a plea to avoid a trial. The reason he did this was quite simple. The reason that Bernie Madoff copped the plea and the government permitted it is to protect the government. In other words, the object here was to make certain that those in the government who are guilty, either through default or looking the other way or outright bribery, such as people in the SEC, will walk. They themselves will not be burned by this Madoff scandal. He was told, you know, wifey Ruth will keep some of the money if you just take a plea and go away, you know, and die quietly in a prison. But the victims of Madoff are not happy at all. You have to understand that this is a charade. You're watching a show trial with Bernie Madoff, and that's the whole reason that you think it's a guilty plea, but it's not a guilty plea. It's a get-away-with-fraud plea, in my opinion. And that is because here's a man who ran one of the largest investment scams in U.S. history, and nobody knows where the money is. Many of the people ruined by Madoff's Ponzi scheme didn't find this very, very satisfying, let's put it to you that way. U.S. District Judge Denny Big Chin ordered him immediately to jail to await sentencing. Now, the reason he's going to await sentencing and the reason it'll occur months from now is because we'll be involved in another scandal or another shock to the system from Obama, and we'll forget Bernie Madoff at that point, and he'll get a slap on the wrist. He will definitely not disclose where the money is. That's the main thing here. I mean, this is about money, isn't it? And so, therefore, the question to those who got scammed is, where's the money? Now, a trial would have, through discovery, found where the money was. I believe he has plenty to hide. I believe his family is certainly involved. How in the world could you assume, I'd like to ask you, how in the world could you assume that they didn't know what he was doing? How did they not know what they were doing? They all worked, and his sons worked in the same building. I started the show talking about Madoff's statement at the hearing, one of the most astonishing double talk speeches that you've ever heard in your life. It's a statement that his lawyer, his wonderful prize of a lawyer, wrote for him. Who knows who wrote it? The lawyer, the wife, the daughter-in-law, the grandson probably at one of the colleges in the East that he scammed wrote it in the middle of a spring break. Well, who knows who wrote it? Victims from all over the country sent emails to the court and prosecutors. Now, today, let's start with today. This piece of human trash, Bernie Madoff, this lowest of the low scum, this rat of the gutter, you know, his sneer still bothers me. The hair on the back of his head, the very hairs on the back of this vermin's hair, his hair bothers me. You know why? Why does his hair bother me? Here is a guy who's involved. Let's put it to you another way. Let's say a black kid stole a necklace out of a jewelry store on 47th Street. Do you think that black kid would have lived in his home in Harlem until the trial? Do you think he would have gotten to sneer without handcuffs as he walked into the courtroom with his head held high, like somebody who is above the law, you know? And a haircut? Still no, he's still not shorn of those beautiful locks of his. There's something about the hair that bothers me that tells it all. But anyway, Big Chin kept a tight rein on the courtroom today, limited the number of speakers and the time and manner in which the victims were allowed to address the court. And again, I want to reiterate, the reason there will be no trial is to cover up for the government. The reason there will be no trial is to cover up for the government. Now, there's another story that's even bigger that I have to talk about that you're not going to read about, and it is about Obama's appointment of a man you never heard of, who people in San Francisco heard of a great deal. During the presidency of George W. Bush, liberals used to say that it was the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States. But as time goes by, it's looking as though Barack Obama may claim the title for himself. Why do I say it? Just today, the office of the man B.O. appointed as the federal government's chief information officer was raided by the FBI. Two men who had worked for Vivek Kundra were arrested as part of a federal bribery sting. Their names were Yusuf Akar and Sushil Bansal. Well, it looks like maybe there's an Elliot Ness out there in the FBI after all. But if you've been paying any attention at all over the last few months, you know that this is only the most recent in a long list of scandals involving Obama appointees, or shall we call them anointees. Bill Richardson removed himself from the running to be as U.S. Commerce Secretary, supposedly because of an ongoing investigation into a possible pay-for-play deal in Richardson's state. Timothy Geithner, Obama's pick for Treasury Secretary, forgot to pay taxes, but was approved anyway. And by the way, he's the head of the IRS. Tom Daschle, he forgot to pay $100,000 in taxes and had to step down. Nancy Killefer took herself out of the running, killed her appointment to be Obama's chief performance officer position because she failed for 18 months to pay employment taxes on household help. And then there's the husband of Obama's nominee for U.S. Labor Secretary, Hilda Solis, more than $7,600 in tax liens on his auto repair business. That was still approved. Ron Kirk, nominated as U.S. Trade Representative, the latest Obama tax cheater, owes an estimated $10,000 in back taxes. And rabid anti-Semite and frontman for the Chinese and Saudis, Charles Freeman, Obama's pick for the National Intelligence Council, took himself out of the running after his racist comments were publicly exposed. You know that none of these scandals seem to have any effect on Obama's determination to continue appointing corrupt officials. These people consider themselves above the law. They're sneering at us. As part of the neo-Marxist cabal, they consider the law to be for you and for I, or for people below them, but not for themselves. I, Michael Savage, will be right back. Obama talked about starting a civilian security force during the campaign. Many people rejected any fear about it as being the paranoid ravings of a few conservatives. Now Obama has hired Van Jones, who has a history as a street agitator and police hater, as his new green czar. Are you worried that gangs of thugs like him will be deputized and armed in this country by the federal government to force environmental policies onto the people? Powers exceeding the local police? And will it all be done under the auspices of creating green jobs along the lines of Hitler's brown shirts, Obama's green shirts? Bernie Madoff pled guilty today, was finally removed from his luxurious Manhattan penthouse to a jail cell where he should have gone from the beginning. What would the proper justice for Madoff and his wife Ruthie be? Do you believe that Madoff did this alone? Who helped him? If he was assisted, why have no others been arrested yet? If the authorities were to dig too deeply, would they find a connection to the SEC, to others, all the way up the chain? Our two Green College professor, President Obama, made another public relations mistake with one of our oldest and strongest allies. Joining us from the Heritage Foundation is Niall Gardner to talk about this diplomatic screw-up.
Thanks, Michael. There are three words to describe the White House's reception for the British Prime Minister last week. Public relations disaster. Gordon Brown arrived in Washington as the first leader from across the Atlantic to greet the president on U.S. soil since his inauguration. But his visit to the Oval Office left a sour taste with the British media and millions of television viewers watching from the U.K. Diplomacy and decorum matter in affairs of state, especially when it involves the two most powerful nations in the world, with a close-knit partnership that has lasted for six decades. The Prime Minister, however, was denied a joint press conference with the President, as well as an official dinner, and received the kind of welcome normally reserved for the leader of some far-flung South Sea island. The White House agreed to a small pool spray for journalists in the Oval Office, but much of the British press corps, including Washington correspondents from some of the biggest London papers, were kept out. During a brief answer and question session, the president appeared somewhat bored and uninterested, and his answers seemed forced, especially when describing the alliance with Britain. There was no repeat of the kind of camaraderie that was on display whenever George W. Bush met with Tony Blair. Even the ritual exchange of gifts was poorly handled by the White House. Brown brought several gifts for the new president, including a first edition of the 7-volume official biography of Sir Winston Churchill by Sir Martin Gilbert, as well as a pen holder carved from the timbers of HMS Gannet, a ship used by the British to combat slavery in the 19th century. In return, Obama presented his guest with 25 DVDs, ranging from Psycho to E.T. And in case Brown is the last person in the galaxy not to have seen Star Wars, that was thrown in too.
This is unbelievable to me.
Quite what the Prime Minister made of The Wizard of Oz is unknown, but the London Daily Mail described the gift from the US President as, quote, about as exciting as a pair of socks. Although politically, Gordon Brown at home is a lame duck, he is still the leader of America's closest ally on the world stage and represents 60 million Britons and thousands of British soldiers who fight bravely alongside their American counterparts on the battlefields of southern Afghanistan. He should have been given a dignified welcome that fully reflected this.
Well, I agree.
The Obama-Brown White House debacle underscored a bigger problem than just a lack of diplomatic sensibility. It was symbolic of a special relationship that is under threat on several fronts, from indifference towards Britain on the part of the new leadership in Washington to a decline in British defence spending and the gradual erosion of British sovereignty within Europe. The Obama administration has even gone to the extraordinary length of recalibrating its description of the special relationship as a special partnership. The Anglo-American alliance has never even been mentioned in a major speech by President Obama, and the White House and the executive branch are looking increasingly to continental Europe and not to Britain to address the biggest international issues of the day. Vice President Joe Biden did not even acknowledge the UK in his keynote address to the Munich Security Conference last month, but made a point of supporting French ambitions to rejoin NATO's military command structures, as well as a greater European Union defence identity. Recently, Hillary Clinton was lauded by Hans-Gert Pottering, President of the European Parliament, for sounding like a European when she visited Brussels on her first trip to Europe as Secretary of State.
Unbelievable.
Indeed, there is every sign that the Obama administration is embarking on a love affair with Europe, while wooing the Russians on the side, one that will ultimately end in tears. It's easy to be cheered to the rafters in Germany or Belgium and bask in the glow of adoration from countries that fought tooth and nail against the United States over the war in Iraq. It's quite another to get Europeans to lay down their lives to defend the cause of freedom.
Exactly.
As the new US administration is discovering with the NATO operation in Afghanistan, it is the English-speaking countries that are bearing the overwhelming brunt of the fighting and the casualties. And there is no sign whatsoever that this will change now there is a new leader in the White House. Hopefully, it won't take very long for President Obama and his advisers to understand that the Anglo-American alliance is at the very heart of the free world and that the special relationship is absolutely vital to American interests.
Thanks, Niall. Obama's image has always been about his ability to speak and relate and how he would talk to the entire world. I hope this isn't a sign of things to come. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment. Savage. When we look at the Hollywood sluts on TV and on the news, you can't help but wonder just how far down our morals as a country have fallen. One of the biggest contributors to our moral decay was the now infamous report by the so-called father of the sexual revolution, Dr. Alfred Kinsey. This report has been used to change the laws on sex crimes and how sex ed is taught in our country. There's a new documentary out on DVD entitled The Kinsey Syndrome that takes a look at the truth behind this report. Joining us today to talk about this documentary is a Dr. Judith Reisman. Dr. Reisman, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's been a while, and I'm so delighted to be back on your program again.
Why did you work on this documentary?
Well, it was the producer who came to me and had read my previous works and who felt that it was important to do a documentary. I had no idea. I had never met him before. And he was completely devoted to the idea of bringing this factual information to the public. So I said, yeah, great, you know, go for it.
Why is the data considered by many to be controversial?
Well, sure, his data aren't controversial, really. I mean, the only controversy that surrounds it is by those who would promote these false data and always have promoted them as real. You know, here's a man who claimed that he interviewed 4,441 women, and this brilliant interviewer, quote-unquote, concluded that not one single female had ever really been harmed by a sexual assault. Now, who believes that? Out of 4,441 women, that he never had one that was really harmed? Well, if that was the case, then why would we have changed our laws? We should have stayed the way we were at that time, because that tells us that the society was a paradise lost. So that's the female data. As far as the male data were concerned, no one seemed to notice that 80-some percent of his males were actually prisoners, active homosexuals who were not in the war at the time because they weren't allowed. You know, nobody even seemed to notice that the majority of the men, that again, another over almost 80%, were being interviewed during World War II when every available normal male was in service or was working for the military, which meant nobody could give him any interviews. So all the male data were completely phony. Then when we look at the children and the data that he created to tell us that children are sexual from birth, these were round-the-clock experiments that were being conducted on these little infants and children, a minimum of 317, looks like there were over 2,000 infants and children by Kinsey's pedophiles. As a matter of fact, there was a British documentary that was called Kinsey's Pedophiles based on my work a few years ago. There was a really very powerful report by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that identified all of American sex laws as having been either gutted totally or weakened dramatically based upon Kinsey's fraudulent data that was then transmitted via the Rockefeller Foundation. Rockefeller's having funded Kinsey. Rockefeller's having funded the use of Kinsey's data in a whole new, what was called American Law Institute Model Penal Code, to change, to gut our laws and to create what we today have as a wide open sort of renewal of the wild, wild west.
Well, this Kinsey report is one of the moral turning points of our country, and it's a faker.
Oh, it was. Kinsey was called the father of the sexual revolution. Everybody knew that at the time. He was as famous, they said, as they called it the K-bomb. You know, we had the H-bomb and the atomic bomb, the A-bomb, and they called him the K-bomb. The whole world knew that. Gore Vidal said that Kinsey was the most famous man for a full decade in the world, he said. And Kinsey was. His phony data were used, created by the elite, the power elite. That would, again, I can't reemphasize enough, the Rockefeller Foundation, and then the Ford Foundation jumped in too, and Carnegie. But these foundations were pushing Kinsey's data on American society and then pushing those data into the laws that would gut our society and create the moral abyss that we now have. The laws and the view of men and women pre-Kinsey, pre-World War II, simply precluded any of the vile behavior that we see today. You know, we keep hearing that that during Kinsey's era, people were sexually repressed, and that repression found its outlet in people deciding that they would get married and so forth before they generally engaged in sex, which reduced our out-of-wedlock pregnancies dramatically, which reduced the sexually transmitted diseases dramatically, and kept families together, and so on. So, yeah, the whole notion of Kinsey as the father of the sexual revolution, as the father of sex, drugs, rock and roll, and that sort of thing, is completely accurate. We were the greatest generation that Tom Brokaw wrote about, that saved our lives, that saved the world during World War II, then was libeled and slandered by Kinsey post-World War II. He, by the way, who never served in the Army or in the military.
Why do you think this info has been suppressed for so long?
Michael, that truly was one of my big surprises. I mean, when I discovered that Kinsey had been using pedophiles and that these children had been tortured for his data, which that was way back in 1981, and I presented a paper on that before the Fifth World Congress of Sexology in Jerusalem, I was so naive and so liberal, I just assumed that everybody would say, oh my goodness, we have to get this cleaned up and get the information out and see where he's affected our teaching and see where he has changed our laws, and we have to fix all that, you know. I mean, that's how naive I was. And it took me years to find out, that to realize that really this man created the profession of sexology and human sexuality. There was none before him. This man was not going to be told on. Nobody was going to tell the truth about this, because they had written about him. They had quoted him. Their research cited him. That would expose so many people to ridicule, to loss of their jobs, to collapse of industries, to an end to sex education as it had been taught, to elimination of the textbooks and the journals that had been based upon Kinsey. There's no way that that was going to happen.
Well, what can we do? Is there any way to fight this?
Well, my whole campaign, of course, for all these years has just simply been to tell the truth. I have always felt that if the American public realized that Kinsey was not only lying, but using, it turned out when Yorkshire Television did their documentary, and that's in this one, in the Kinsey syndrome, that he had actually been corresponding and supporting a Nazi pedophile, you know, in Germany, for heaven's sake. I mean, we just won World War II, and we're basing our view of child sexuality on a man who was a Nazi? For goodness sake. So, you know, my thought had been, we cannot change anything until we understand who changed us. We have got to get our history straight, and our history has been so distorted in order to promote this view of sexuality that people believe it was always this way. And as George Orwell said, so long as you can convince people that it's never been better, it's always been this way, you see, then you can control them and direct them in any way that you choose to do. And if we look around us, the direction that has been chosen is not one that is helpful in any way, shape, or form to decent human beings and to a civil society.
Where can we get the DVD?
It's called The Kinsey Syndrome. And there's an 800 number, an 888 number, actually, that can be called to order it. And I urge people to do that, because this is your history, and you're certainly not going to get this information from the Discovery Channel or from any of the other establishment media, because they have been covering this up all along. So it's 888-780-5049. Let me repeat that one more time so folks can put that down. It's 888-780-5049, and that's the Kinsey Syndrome, and it's very detailed, very extensive, covers every aspect of what Kinsey did to your lives. There's not an American out there, Michael, not one, whose life has not been dramatically altered by Alfred Kinsey and his elitist, you know, conglomerate. Yeah, because it's not been to your advantage.
Thanks for doing the research on this, Dr. Reisman, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation. Knowing how we got to this degenerate state in our society may help us turn it around at some point. This is what's on michaelsavage.com. You may not see this in tomorrow's newspaper, because your friends in the media who are losing their jobs will go out the door and walk the plank for Obama. But two were arrested by the FBI today at Obama appointee's office in the Federal Chief Information Officer's office in a federal bribery sting. Two arrested in FBI raided Obama appointee's office. You won't see that on CNN. Victims see little justice in Madoff guilty plea. Oh, that's a sickening story. The reason he took a plea is to avoid a trial. And the reason he avoided a trial is to, well, read the whole story. It's on michaelsavage.com. Other stories on michaelsavage.com. Police union in San Francisco accuses Bill Ayers in deadly San Francisco bombing that killed one police sergeant in 1970. And, of course, that's William Ayers, the co-founder of the Weather Underground, and his wife in a 1970 bombing. The U.S. government has turned on the hero, Sheriff Arpaio. Can you believe this? The world is upside down. Radical leftist scum like Gerald Nadler, that fat slob from New York, and liberal phony communist vermin are now attacking the toughest sheriff in America simply because he's enforcing immigration law. Read it and weep. You're living in a world upside down. From the Washington Post today, workers' health benefits are being eyed for taxation. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. MoveOn, dot whatever, and Acorn are harassing the Democrats who will not go along with the communist program. From the Washington Times today on my website, China stocks are up on bargain oil. From the Associated Press, Europe is hurrying to tighten gun laws. Oh, that's right. You don't want the people of Europe to be able to protect themselves against radical Islamists. They should be protecting themselves with...
Savage.
Well, what?